all-new Ellen, Octavia Spencer.
Are you dating anyone?
Kind of, not really, but yeah, did Brad Pitt say something about me? Is that what this is about?
Plus, Ellen's million-dollar man.
This is money, and it's a lot of it.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 71 of Tatooine Sons. There's been a disturbance in the Force. Disney announced the release dates for the next three Star Wars films, and fandom is beginning to go dark side with the info. Videos and articles have appeared claiming that this is confirmation that the Rian Johnson trilogy films previously announced are dead. We'll sort through the facts and fiction to come up with what we think. Plus, we've got our hot takes on the other Star Wars news and rumors of the week, and the results of last week's podcast poll. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream... That Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A chew to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't know about all the negative thoughts over Rian Johnson.
I bet you a lot of them do know about all the negative thoughts if you're not a Star Wars fan. If you're a geekdom fan, you know about Rian Johnson. So.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's bow tie joke.
Got it. We're batching it this weekend, guys. You guys know Bachelors?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about like a batch of like cookies or something.
No, huh? No, we're mom is in Atlanta.
I'm pretty sure.
That's where she's at. I should know this.
Yeah,
I should too.
Know where my wife is.
I know why she's out. So
you know why?
I barely know why she's gone.
Because Rachel, your future aunt.
Y'all say aunt?
That's what you're supposed to. An aunt is that little bug that you squash. An aunt is your
aunt,
mother's or father's sister. But it's in-law. Anyway, your Uncle Jody is getting married to your future aunt, Rachel, and she's having her bridal shower this weekend in Atlanta, and so mom is in Atlanta for the bridal shower.
So we're trying not to burn the house down.
Nah, we didn't cook anything tonight. We had Freddy's.
That's true.
I did cook something in the middle of the day today.
Yeah, you did a great job. BB Nate made lunch today. I came home for lunch, and BB Nate had made chicken patty sandwiches and french fries, which was... He did a great job. I'm not a bad cook. I haven't had time to cook. So, so we'll be taking care of that. And then tomorrow we've got something fun that you're going to be doing. Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, so for a while, I've been wanting to join the Mandalorian Mercs, which, if you don't know what that is, it's like the third largest Star Wars cosplay group in the world. And I haven't been able to make my costume yet, but there's a way I can get involved, and that's just by handling, basically helping with everything else they need, helping people get in and out of costumes, answering questions, taking pictures, all the pretty much the grunt work. So I'm going down to an event tomorrow up in Denver that they have once a month, and I'm just going to help out with that. I'm super excited.
Yeah, you've been wanting to do this for a long time. Al goes all the way back to 2017 for us.
Yeah.
When we went to Star Wars Celebration. Orlando is what I'm thinking of.
I know, and probably a little bit earlier. I remember that you were into the Mandalorians and you were looking at that.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, he was thinking about it long before that. But,
oh, yeah.
But we went to the Mandalorian Merc panel in Star Wars Celebration Orlando. Yeah. And I had an opportunity to kind of get an idea of what it was like to be in the Mandalorian Mercs. And you've wanted to do this. But that now you just, you're getting your opportunity.
I'm doing it. I'm already working on stuff. I've been, spray painting some guns, getting a feel for how to make stuff before I start really working on it. I don't want to screw something up.
Yeah. And then the last thing, we'll mention is we've got our new website. It is up, the Making Star Wars, podcast network situation has been officially announced, and we're a part of that, and we're on their website now, but we also have our own website, so we'd love for you guys to check it out. Go to TatooineSons.com and give us some feedback on that. That's just the first iteration of this version of the website. We've got some new merch on there. We've got we're going to have more merch going on there. We're going to be working with some affiliate sponsors as well, where you can buy your Star Wars books, you can buy Pozu shoes, you can buy your Star Wars Legos and all that kind of stuff through that, and it will help support the show. So we'll have that up in the next few weeks, as far as that goes, and then we're going to be reaching out to some Star Wars writers and asking them to be a part of writing for TatooineSons.com. So we're pretty pumped about that. So I guess that's enough of just kind of the chit-chat. Why don't we get into the show? So I guess we should just go on over to the podcast poll results from last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
So last week's podcast poll of the week was all about Chewbacca and Peter Mayhew. Obviously, the show last week was dedicated to the memory and celebrating the life of Peter Mayhew after we found out that he passed just an hour or so before we recorded. And so the podcast poll had to do with that. It was very simple. Which Chewbacca scene is your favorite? And we chose even JG's was one of these here. We had four different options. It was a really tight poll.
Yeah.
One of the tighter ones that we have. We had 269 votes. So thank you guys for participating in that and voting. The first option was Chewie rescues 3PO. That was from Empire Strikes Back when he puts it back together.
Right.
We had Chewie in the AT-ST. That was yours, right, BB Nate? That at Endor with that. Actually, Let the Wookiee Win. I think that was Carl. That was Carl from Jumping Into Hyperspace, who was our guest on last week's episode. You should check out that episode. Lots of people have really enjoyed hearing us talk about that. I was just on a side note. It was pretty cool when Christopher Sean tweeted out on Monday that he had just listened to our episode and he loved it. And people should check it out. When Kaz says that, that's pretty cool. And then the one I chose was the Carbonite Chamber when he's like trying to save Han, and then Han tells him he has to take care of Leia. The last place one was Chewie rescues 3PO. Sam, your favorite got 20%, which was, you know,
people don't know what's up.
No, I mean, it was a good moment. They're all good. Everybody loved all of them.
That's true.
With it.
I mean, it is pretty tight. So
yeah, Carl's was 22%. Let the Wookiee Win with that. So and then we had BB Nate. Yours was second place with Chewie and the AT-ST on Endor. And then, I mean, of course, right? We had let the Carbonite Chamber scene got 30%. It was the win.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So we wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. You guys commented lots of good comments on the poll. And we're pretty excited to read a couple of these. I think, BB Nate, you've got the first one here. Go for it.
So Van Williamson at Vando Will...
Wilrissian. It's like Lando Calrissian.
That sounds pretty cool.
Vando Wilrissian. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. Honorable mention. When Chewie leans his head against the equipment when he hears the echo-based blast doors and being closed and he can't save his boys.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that one. That was a really good one. Yeah. That's a sad moment. Like, he thinks he's going to lose Han. He's going to lose Luke in that. You just had C-3PO say the odds of them surviving that that night. That I think that it was R2 that calculated those odds. But anyway, that was a really good one. What about you, Sam? What's your
one? And then Valerie Gomez at Valerie Gogo 1.
That was a good one, too.
Yeah, that is a good one. She said, when they put Han in the cell with Chewie at Jabba's palace, he's so happy to see him, and I love their conversation.
Yeah, that's
another, that is another really good one.
Yeah, he was like, hugging him, and they're freaking out, and Han can't see him, but he knows as soon as he hears his voice who it is, and it was a lot of fun one. And then, of course, I like this one a lot. It's one of my favorite scenes. I say it all the time. I wish I had the sound effects for it. I don't, but Amanda Watchorn at Leo Solo 47. So that tells me that she's a huge Han and Leia fan there. She does the classic, you know, that moment when Leia kisses Luke, which was kind of creepy. But
in
anyway,
retrospect,
and she walks out and Chewbacca starts to giggle and laugh because of what happened with that, because of the cockiness that Han was having before that. And, of course, you have Han look over to Luke or to Chewie and say, laugh it up, fuzzball. So that was a good one. So, that was fun. It was great hearing your guys's ideas on that. So,
input, yes.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for sharing those. And make sure you share on next week's.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of 5 amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
Well, last week we brought in J.G. Kars from Blue Saber Podcast to be a part of our hot takes. And he's going to be a regular contributor on that. But he's not doing so, I think what you said earlier when we were talking about it,
he's not so hot right now.
He got pink eye and it's gotten like some weird, strange infection. And he had to go to the doctor today and try to get that taken care of. So our thoughts and our prayers are out for you, JG. We're thinking about you. We prayed for you over dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. We definitely hope that you get feeling better and that you're back next week. I know you're disappointed. You expressed how disappointed you were that you weren't going to be able to be on the show. But as they say in the show business,
the show must go on.
Wow. You guys were ready for that. So, it's time for hot takes. So Marvel wants you to empathize with the Empire.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to do it that way. The Mandalorian believes there are a lot of similarities between Star Wars and Game of Thrones. And one of the writers of Jedi Fallen Order had some pretty salty things to say about The Last Jedi. Oh. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Star Wars TIE Fighter comics series shifts the perspective in a very interesting way. Up until now, fans have almost exclusively seen Star Wars from the perspective of the Rebellion and the Jedi. But TIE Fighter aims to make heroes of the Empire. Samuel the Hutt, do you like this idea?
Oh, no, I love it. I saw a while back, there was this fan art or fan a video made where it was like, it was an anime pretty much, but it was like of these TIE fighter pilots, and you like, it was short, but it was like super 80s anime. Right. But it was so much fun to watch, and I loved it, and I had always wanted to see more of that, you know, like from the Empire's perspective. So I'm really excited that we're getting a comic series about that. I hope it has the same feel, but in like comic form, obviously. I don't know a whole lot about it. That's about all I know, is that it's from the Empire's perspective. But
yeah, well, from what I, you know, what we know about the TIE Fighter comic series is that it connects and runs parallel with
Alphabet Squadron.
Exactly, Alphabet Squadron, which is yet to be released yet. Alexander Freed's book is going to be coming out. I think it's in...
it's soon.
I think it's June. I think it's next month, which I didn't realize...
Out already?
Yeah, no, the first couple issues have already been released.
Oh, so the first three issues.
Actually. Yeah.
How many issues are there?
I'm not sure. So I think it's interesting that they've released the comics early from the book, and we're going to see their perspective, and then I guess we're going to go back in the Alphabet Squadron book and see some of the same stories and the same plot lines taking place from the
Rebellion's
perspective. But BB Nate, you know, you didn't read the Inferno Squad novel. That was the prequel, like the precursor novel to Star Wars Battlefront 2 with Iden Versio. And what's the name? It's Inferno Squad. Yeah, the Inferno Squad guy. I can't remember all their names. Del Mico and
Hask.
On those, all of that group. But it was interesting because you're seeing the events in that series taking place from an Empire's perspective, and it's favorable to the Empire. You're seeing it from their point of view. So there's a similarity to that. BBN, what do you think about the idea that we're seeing Marvel, at least in this comic, and then, of course, in the Inferno Squad novel, we're trying to see things from a positive perspective on the Empire side of things?
Oh, I think it's showing like what life was actually like for the people that didn't really knew about the Rebellion, kind of like Tam. I think they want to see you like what Tam thinks.
Tam, explain for maybe our listeners or viewers that aren't Resistance fans, explain kind of a little bit with, you know, we can do a tiny spoiler alert here if you haven't watched Resistance. Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about what you're talking about there.
Well, so Tam is a character in Star Wars Resistance, as we were talking about, and her father was a worker of the Empire, correct? And so
in the shipyards, I think is what it was.
She always thought the Rebellion was bad, because that's how she was.
And the Empire were the good guys.
Yes.
So
she thought the same with the First Order, and
why not? I mean, we're already into May. It's been like 2 months since Resistance finished.
Trey, Kaz and Yeager and everything go to the First Order.
Yeah, she sided with the First Order at the end of season one, and then we see her in that situation. Big time spoiler alert.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Let's just say, for those of us that had the amazing privilege of participating in the Star Wars Resistance Season 2 sneak peek panel at Star Wars Celebration Chicago, we got to see a little bit more of Tam and what's going on with her. So I think that they're trying to help us see those different perspectives. One of our pads fell. Two of our pads fell. When did that happen?
I have no idea. Okay.
Anyway. All right. We've got these soundproofing pads that are notorious for falling off the walls. Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I think that it helps us understand the story better if we see the Empire as being sort of the prime, you know, I mean, there's a perspective that you could have in Star Wars where the Rebellion are terrorists.
Oh, it's very
and definitely. They're blowing up Death Stars and they're attacking innocent civilians and they're showing it from that perspective, because I think it's an important perspective for us to understand some of the depth of the characters going forward, and how I think it's more important for the storyline for us to see this perspective so we understand how the First Order comes back. Okay. Because if you don't understand the way that the Empire is viewed in the Star Wars universe while it's in existence, you lose why the First Order how it can possibly come back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. All right, next one. Pedro Pascal, who played... I'm going to butcher this. Oberyn Martell.
I don't know.
I could go with this.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Maybe not. On the fourth season of HBO's Game of Thrones, believes that the fantasy mega series owes its popularity to Star Wars. He quotes, he says, "I see enormous parallels between the world of Star Wars and the world of Game of Thrones." Pascal said, "Game of Thrones might not exist if it not for the Star Wars in the way that this world building genre took science fiction to a new level in the way that Game of Thrones takes fantasy to a new level." So he's comparing the way that because Star Wars became more than just the Flash Gordon serials and the Buck Rogers serials, it became this huge world that everybody participated right. in. Game of Thrones has sort of done the same thing at the fantasy level.
I have noticed that there is a lot of overlap in Star Wars fans and
games. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He goes on to say, "And the way that it represents such concrete realities that we live in, although the irony being that it's science fiction and fantasy." So he's saying, you know, you get to experience what life is like and sort of some of the storylines that we experience in our worlds exist in these fantasy and science fiction genres with it. You know, Game of Thrones is becoming more and more connected to Star Wars. Gwendolyn Christie, who played Captain Phasma in the sequel trilogy, as well as Emilia Clarke, who played Kira in Solo, A Star Wars Story, are stars of the Game of Thrones series. And, of course, the show's producers are currently crafting, and I use quotes because we're going to talk about that a little bit later, a series of Star Wars films. So, BB Nate, what do you think about Pascal's comments?
Like Sammy said, I do find a lot of overlap with Star Wars and Game of Thrones fans. I really agree with his comments. It does put a lot of real-life stuff into it, especially Star Wars, from
we've never watched a single episode of Game of Thrones. Our rule in this house is if you can't watch it with your kids, you don't watch it. And so that's just our rules, and that's fine. I know a lot of you guys that listen to this and watch our show and we interact with on social media are big Game of Thrones fans, and you know, to each his own, that's fine. But because of some of the content that exists within the Game of Thrones universe, we just choose not to watch that. Plus, we never had HBO until... I guess recently we've got it like through AT&T or something, but we don't even know how to log into it. So, we haven't watched any Game of Thrones, but you're saying that the parallels in the stories
are
in Star Wars feel real life.
I was going to say, I've always loved how seeing what a mundane life would be like in Star Wars or in Game of Thrones. And it's easier to show that off when you've got TV shows and stuff. And now I know Game of Thrones is only a TV show, but that gives them...
But there's more time to tell stories. To
show the nitty-gritty of the Game of Thrones universe. And, you know, Star Wars with all its TV shows, you get to see the nitty-gritty of the Star Wars universe. And I've always just loved that. Like, what would it be like if I just was thrown into the Star Wars universe, you know? What would I be doing on a daily basis? Like, I was just reading a little bit of From a Certain Point of View.
Oh, great book.
It's amazing. And it was talking about, his name's escaping me, but it's the bartender.
At the cantina.
And it's just going through his life and how, you know, it's mundane or whatever. But it was just interesting to see that side of Star Wars. So I can understand how that would bleed over into Game of Thrones and why people would love to watch Game of Thrones because of that.
Yeah, and like you guys were both saying, the fandoms are very much of an overlap. We were at Star Wars Celebration Chicago, obviously, when the premiere of this final season of Game of Thrones, the first episode premiered on that Sunday night, and you could go to restaurants all over the convention area and find seats without any problem. It was just wide open. Streets were wide open. Lobbies were wide open in hotels because everybody was watching
Game of Thrones. I think some people, like some of the fans at Celebration were having watch parties.
Oh, yeah. I know they were.
Was it JG? JG was looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, it was a big deal. So
yeah. On a side note, you're talking about this. We've got time to talk about it. So, from a certain point of view, you're talking about the bartender. I was listening to the Chatter Squadron's episode from this previous week. Did you guys check that out at all?
No.
See that? Mm-hmm. Chatter Squadron did a review of Thrawn Alliances.
Okay.
And so you've got that bartender, and a spoiler alert, I guess, for anybody that hasn't read Thrawn Alliances, but my God, it's been out for like a year. Statute of limitations on that being a spoiler have ended. But you know how in the Thrawn Vader sequence when they go to
Batuu,
you have the bartender that's terrified of them.
Yeah.
And then you have in the Anakin Thrawn sequences or storyline that's running parallel to it. You have Padme being helped by those three natives from the planet that they were on. I can't remember the name of that planet. One of them was like particularly helpful and he survived and a bunch of and they didn't. Did you know that that's the same character?
No.
Yes! Timothy Zahn's confirmed
what's
it.
What's his name?
I don't remember, but he changes his name when he goes to Batuu after everything happens in that. And he's the Batuu bartender in that. And that's why he's scared of Vader and Thrawn, because of everything that happened to his homeworld in the previous timeline or the previous sequence.
Huh. Oh, so that's why that sequence was important.
It didn't make any sense to me. It never made sense to me when you and I listened to it, and I don't know if it made sense to you. I couldn't figure out why he was scared of him.
Yeah.
It's because it's the same stinking character.
Huh.
So, and the guys from Chatter Squad were a little bit critical of Timothy Zahn and how it was hard to understand. But they're projecting.
But Timothy Zahn's a tough
author. He can be a tough author to follow. But they think that character is going to be present in Galaxy's Edge.
Hey, so, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, last one here. Chris, this one could take up the entire 7 minutes we have left. Okay. Chris Avalon, best known for his work on the wildly popular Knights of the Old Republic video game.
Oh, wow.
Has been announced to be a writer for the highly anticipated Jedi Fallen Order game being released this November. And while this will make many Star Wars fans happy, his recent comments regarding The Last Jedi are sure to ruffle some feathers.
I got a bad feeling about this.
In an interview with VideoGameChronicle.com, Avalon said...
Uh-oh.
It's a trap!
I thought that portrayal of Luke Skywalker was very weak. I thought they gave him a scapegoat role that wasn't merited and didn't fit with his character, in my opinion. I like the fact that they were playing around with it, but at the same time, I didn't like that the execution, and I thought it could have been handled a lot better or differently. Avalon went on to say that he felt that many of the characters and plot decisions were subpar, and I quote, I also thought it was a case that a case of comedy goes too far. I'm assuming it's the General Hugs stuff, some of that. Side characters and massive detour plots were rapidly introduced. Obviously, this is Canto Bight he's talking about. And I liked what they were trying to do. I just didn't like how it was executed, which is sort of like, you know, walking it back because what he just said was pretty intense. So, Samuel the Hutt, as a huge fan of The Last Jedi, does this make you concerned at all about Jedi Fallen Order?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can have their opinions. I don't think that's going to influence anything. This character has this game has nothing to, well, that we know of, has nothing to do with Luke Skywalker. So, I know it can't. So, I'm not worried about him portraying Luke in a weird way. I'm still excited for it. I'm still going to get it. I'm still going to play it. You know, he can have his opinions and be wrong. That's okay.
It's okay. Not everybody.
I mean, I will admit, Canto Bight was a little weird. It just kind of felt weird the way they put it in there. And I know it had a bigger purpose, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about it on our show after the movie came out, and how I felt like the Canto Bight scene is actually very, very important.
Yeah.
If you're basing it on Finn having to mature and go from being out for himself and his friends to being willing to sacrifice everything in order to save the resistance, which is what you have at the end.
Right.
You have to have the Canto Bight series sequence to do that. It totally makes sense to me. But in case, you know, everybody knows I'm just a shill for Disney.
Impressive. So. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
In our pockets with Disney's money.
Yeah, I wish we were lined in our pockets with Disney's money. So anyway, BB Nate, what do you think about these comments by Chris Avalon from Jedi Fallen Order?
It's comments I've heard a thousand times before.
That's true.
Not necessarily trying to be mean or anything like this, but I really couldn't care less. We have our opinions, he has his.
Yeah, that's fair.
He doesn't have to go any further.
No, this is Star Wars fandom, and you have to agree with me or you're not a true Star Wars fan. So.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
I don't think he'll go any further. I don't think that it'll write into the game that Last Jedi sucked.
No. I don't think he's...
I don't think he'll say anything about it. I think he's just going to be... That's what he thought. He said it once. he got his word out.
Yeah.
And we've done ours.
The concern that I have about when this kind of stuff happens, though, this kind of goes back to what happened with Mark Hamill a couple of weeks ago when he tweeted out that picture of that Photoshopped picture of him and Han and Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, and Lando, Billy Dee Williams, older in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon with the hashtag missed opportunities. I don't have a problem with Mark having wanted that moment to take place.
And I mean, I wouldn't have minded to see
And that I would have either. Loved it, right?
Yeah.
I have a problem where this is what I said. I just knew that if it was in a vacuum and Mark said it, it would have meant nothing. It was just him saying that he would have liked to have seen this happen.
Right.
But the way that fandom functions in Star Wars fandom today, it adds fuel to the fire for this kind of stuff. And we're going to talk here in just a minute about, you know, the whole Rian Johnson stuff. There's this like really real toxic side of Star Wars fandom that wants nothing more than to see Rian Johnson like rot in hell. And that's not a joke. I mean, I'm talking about people that like Chris that disliked pieces The Last Jedi. I have no problem with that. I don't have a problem with Mark Hamill having issue with these scenes not playing out the way that he did. And he's been vocal about, you know, especially at the beginning, he really didn't like the way that Rian was portraying Luke.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when people like this, when Mark tweeted that out, I knew it was going to create a firestorm. I said it right then, within seconds, it was going to create the firestorm that it created. So much so that he had to walk it back and apologize and said, I didn't realize this was going to create this mess with it. I should have just tweeted about Endgame spoilers. And then at the same time, you know, Chris, he's just sharing an opinion as a storyteller, a Star Wars storyteller.
Right.
But when he says this, it feeds the toxic side. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage people that have problems with The Last Jedi, especially people. I mean, fans, that's fine. But people that have this
reputation.
They have a voice. Mm. They have credibility as Star Wars people. Mm. To be very careful when they say things critical about this movie. I don't want to make them so that they can't say anything, but I just feel like we've got to be real careful. Yeah. I haven't seen this getting tweeted out. I haven't seen anybody on social media talking about what Chris said, but when I hear these comments, it always creates some anxiety in me. Not that somebody didn't like everything in The Last Jedi. No problem, dude.
No.
But that when somebody in this level he's a writer for Knights of the Old Republic.
Right.
And it's such a fan thing.
Yeah.
For him to make these statements is going to create some people are going to latch onto it. And they're going to use it to bash Rian, to bash The Last Jedi, and to attack. And that's when we get people wishing Rian would commit suicide or somebody would kill him, which has happened in social media. People saying things about Kelly Marie Tran that were vile and disgusting over a movie. So we've just got to be very, very careful when we do that. But I guess
that's your public announcement
opinion.
It's my opinion. So.
Be careful not to choke on your aspiration.
All new Ellen, Octavia Spencer.
Are you dating anyone?
Kinda, not really, but did Brad Pitt say something about me? Is that what this is about?
Plus, Ellen's Million Dollar Man.
This is money, and it's a lot of it.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC for New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News for New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC for New York.
All right, so earlier this week, I saw a tweet come out from Sleemo, which I follow on Twitter. I get notifications from her. She's awesome. Do you guys know we met Sleemo, by the way?
No, apparently not.
Yeah, she was dressed as Rose Tico at the IMAX. I'm pretty sure it was her. At the IMAX headquarters screening of The Last Jedi.
Okay.
She's like a big-time Star Wars social media and article person and writer and personality with that. But anyway, I follow her tweets. I get notifications, and I saw a tweet come through where some dude said that they've announced a three untitled Star Wars movies to be released 22, 24, and 26.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I immediately retweeted it and said, I don't know who this guy is, but I don't know who the source is for this, but this is interesting. To which, within about a minute, He replied back and he says, sources in my bio. So I opened up, I haven't told you this story, have I? Mm-hmm. So I opened up his bio and he's the head publicist for Lucasfilm.
This is madness.
So.
Oops. Yeah.
Lots of people commented on that afterwards. But anyway, so we're going to talk about this announcement of these movies.
Yeah, that's
but more importantly, we're going to talk about whether or not this announcement means what so many people, John Campia, used to be part of Collider, some other people have been stating over the last 72 hours or so. That this means that the Rian Johnson trilogy of movies is dead. That's what we'll be talking about next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
Find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so like I said, here's the Lucasfilm and Disney formally announced this week that first of all, there's going to be it's going to be a 3-year gap between the Rise of Skywalker. If that's correct, I keep hearing people say the Rise of the Skywalker and it messes me up. Right, that's not Skywalker. What it is. The Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
And the next announced time slot for a Star Wars film, which is in December of 2022.
Yes, I can't do it. I can.
Okay.
I can't do 3 years.
You did it for most of your life.
Yeah, they didn't even have Star Wars for he wasn't a fan before.
Right, that's a completely different situation.
So imagine being your dad, being me. In 1983 was your last Star Wars film all the way to, was it 83? It was. That's 16 years.
Well, they didn't even announce it during prequels.
Right. Well, I didn't, yeah.
So it's it was different. This, I know something's coming. I just had to wait 3 years for it.
No, I had to wait 16 years for the next Star Wars film.
It was coming.
So you guys are a bunch of whiners.
I'm not.
You're not. No, because you're emotionally more mature than he is, with that. So you're welcome. So they're coming out in December of 2022, and then there's going to be a 2-year gap, mm-hmm. Between the other two movies they announced. So December 2024 and December 2026. So, let's start by talking about that. It struck me because everybody on Twitter was talking about how old they were going to be when that first untitled Star Wars film, was released.
And it's going to be 21.
It hit me that you'll have graduated, potentially, if this is the path that you take, mm-hmm. Have graduated with your master's in mechanical engineering before the next Star Wars film is released after this December.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You'll be a full-on fledged adult.
I can drink.
We'll go get some blue milk at the cantina, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, BB Nate's like, hey, BB Nate, you'll be a senior in high school. The next time a Star Wars film is released. So
that's weird.
That is kind of a little bit weird. Now, what do you guys think about
this idea? That's more weird about the being an adult. That's weird.
Yeah, it is. So let's talk about this. What do you guys think? I'll start with you, BB&A. Why do you, how do you feel about the fact that we are waiting 3 years? And why do you think they've chosen to do that?
I think they want I don't think they're wanting to do what Marvel's doing.
Really?
I think they want to not release 3 movies a year because they also release what they're going to be doing. They're going to be releasing 3 movies a year again.
But with Marvel. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
A lot of movies.
And that is a lot of movies, you're right. And they're having TV shows in the middle of that as well. For people to keep up with the content, it's going to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So with this Marvel thing, in between the 3 years, they're probably going to be releasing a ton of TV content, comics, books, and everything like that to keep people, kind of keep their interest, and then the movie comes out, and then you have more stories, kind of like what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did.
Okay.
You have stories linking up
to the other ones. So you think that they're going to use this interim period between now and the first untitled film, and then those 2 years in between the other films, to really to tell stories through Disney Plus, through books, through comics, through games and things like that. That's what you're thinking about that?
Yes.
All right. What about you, Samuel? What do you think about this? Why do you think they're waiting 3 years? And how do you feel about it? I know that you've acknowledged that this is going to be a traumatic 3 years of your life, but you're going to be going to college during that time, so you need to focus on other things.
Anyways. That's true. It'll probably
That's actually, thank you so much, Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy, for doing this in such a way that Sam can focus on graduating from college instead of Star Wars movies. That was very, very kind.
They've been watching my career with great interest.
They have been. I wish I had that one right now. I'll just give it a go.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Right, so go. Tell us what you think about this.
No, I like it. It's good. It'll help build up the hype more, like what you said. Also, with Marvel and them releasing so many movies a year, it becomes less of an exciting thing. Like, you know, this Far From Home thing trailer came out and the tickets were released. We're like, oh yeah, we'll go see it. That's cool. You know, I mean, if there was even just a year break between movies, we'd be super pumped for it. But it's a couple months or something like that.
I mean, I was excited for it. Cause, right. You know,
well, you're a huge Spider-Man fan.
Yeah,
but it's big. It's still not as big as if it were a year out.
Yeah, no, I had people that were like, just completely freaking out at work about Endgame and going, getting their tickets and going and seeing it, that literally didn't even know when Far From Home was being released.
Oh, yeah. No,
and then when the tickets went on sale and the trailer, it was like 2 days later. And I asked them, so did you get your tickets to this new Spider-Man movie? And they're like, oh, yeah. Well, when is that coming out?
I mean,
and I told them and they're like, oh, when did the tickets go on sale? I'm like, two days ago. I'm like, you haven't seen the trailer yet? And they're like, huh? And I'm like, okay. And it was right around the time that they made this announcement about this. And my initial thought about the Star Wars movies, and my initial thought was exactly what you guys were talking about, especially what you were saying there. Thank God that they're doing this. Because if Star Wars ever became that trivial, commonplace for fandom, it would be a disaster, yeah. I think.
I mean, the only reason really that we know that all that stuff was happening for Spider-Man is because we got a movie nerd over here. So, I mean, that's really the only reason. So, it makes it difficult for just average people to keep up with stuff. So.
Right. Now, one of the things that when Disney first purchased Lucasfilm, and then made the announcement about the sequel trilogy and these things taking place, they made it very clear at that time that they were going to be releasing a film a year.
Yeah.
With that, which is obviously at this point, at least, not what's going to be happening.
No.
With this. Why do you think that they've made those changes?
I think they've seen what's happened over the past few years
with people cool down.
With The Last Jedi and, well, I mean, Solo is different because it was within a year. But, you know, The Force Awakens to Rogue One to Last Jedi to Solo to Rise of Skywalker. I think they've noticed that it's just not enough time. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've just ultimately decided, okay, we need to split it out just a little bit more, give more people time to breathe. Because they are still, I mean, let's be honest, Disney is releasing a lot of Star Wars content in between those movies. I mean, what with the books and the comics and now the TV shows and stuff. So I feel like they're going to be releasing even more of this now with Disney Plus. So I feel like they've decided that 2 years is just the optimal time between movies.
What do you think about that element of it?
I would agree. I just think that people need to cool down. I think it's mainly not the fact that they're releasing so much Star Wars content. We got to get back to Solo, because Last Jedi and Solo were in...
Within five months or six months of each other.
And you got to think, because like we were talking about how Marvel releases so quick, I was really excited when I walked out of Last Jedi and saying, hey, in a few months I'm going to be able to see Solo.
Oh yeah, so was I.
I don't think... Because like... I'm trying to think of how 2017 went with Marvel movies. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Or 2018. I don't remember.
There was a bunch of them. Doctor Strange and all of those. So
I'm just saying that I was really excited for that. And I felt like 6 or 7 months was a perfect amount of time. Because I was able to wait for just a little bit. Get my excitement going. Mm-hmm. And then being able to watch another movie. Before my attention got off of it, which is fine. Attention getting off is fine. But I'm just saying, it's good that they're, I think it's good that they're putting it for 3 years for certain aspects. I mean, for
so
me,
what, why?
For fandom to just kind of cool down. They need them to be able to rest a little bit. They need not to have arguments.
Mm. And if they do, maybe this will help with fandom a little bit.
Yeah. And if they have arguments, then for the movie that comes out, they have a year to talk about it.
That's true.
And yeah. then they wait again.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, you were saying, you know, you were super excited for the new movie. That was the perfect amount of time for you to cool off and then get hyped back up for the movie. But you're a super fan. That's easy for you to say. For just average moviegoers, like, you know, nonchalant, let's say Marvel fans, sort of similar to us, that's pretty short time. You know, I'm not super hyped for Spider-Man. I'm just going to go see it. But if I were a massive Marvel fan, I'd be freaking out, you know? But if you're not a massive Star Wars fan, then that's a pretty short amount of time. So a couple of years to really get that steam rolling is just going to be better in the long run.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying about the super fans versus the average moviegoer, the average fan, that's an important thing to think about with Solo, because there were people all the way in December and January after Solo came out that still had not seen Solo, that were like every year, Force Awakens, Rogue One,
right, big fans.
The Last Jedi. But then Solo was sort of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the timing.
We talked about all the bad marketing and the timing and all that.
So. And it goes back to what Kathleen Kennedy said at Star Wars Celebration, that they had lost their cadence. And I think if they were doing it every year, and they had done that where Solo was released this past December as a Christmas of holiday event movie, like had originally, you know, thank God, Mary Poppins was there. Oh, wait, never mind.
or not.
Yeah. I think that the reality is that they lost their cadence and they decided let's reset this whole thing. They've made it very clear it's going to be in December. It's going to be the holiday event for Disney.
They literally released the exact date.
Yeah, they know the dates that they're going to be releasing these untitled Star Wars films.
Okay.
And it's Christmas. It's designed to be like that. Sorry, Mom, but your Christmas, your birthday is always going to be celebrated around Star Wars now for us. So,
well, every couple years. So there'll be a year in between.
A gap, right?
Where it's okay.
And there'll be 3 years where
they were planning that too. You know, they planned for our college, for my college, right? And then they planned for Mom's birthday too.
So,
it's because we're shills and they want to keep
us. I guess
us
so. You know, they're helping
pocket.
Us out. Thank you guys, Disney.
Yeah, thank you.
So, we're still waiting for the check though.
We're going to just have some one massive.
And we really don't care if you have the check as long as you just simply make Turbis Cannon.
Yeah, that would be plenty of payment.
That'll be the payment. And if you wanted to invite us to the premiere of The Rise of Skywalker, red carpet premiere, we'd take that too.
Maybe some royalties off of Turbis merchandise.
No royalties. No? We made that clear. I sent a letter to Leland Chi. This is not a joke. Sent a letter to Leland Chi explaining we're not asking for any royalties of any sort. So there was never a question. Hey, Leland. yeah, go back and listen to that episode.
Hey, Leland, and then what, the publicist from Lucasfilm now?
Yeah.
Messing that one
yeah,
up.
I almost tweeted to the publicist after I read that. I'm like, hey, dude, you know, it would be great publicity.
No.
But then I thought that probably a little too soon. So anyway. I lost so it's going to be this big event. It gives people a couple of years to get excited about a Star Wars film again, and for them to sort of recapture the magic that was, I think, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And
since there was such a gap.
You know, we saw that with people that talked about the Phantom Menace the same way. That gap of time allowed them to really build up excitement for it. So having that 2-3 years before the next one and then a couple of years between films allows that to take place. I also think it's going to, that they've got plans. Disney and Lucasfilm, are a business and they are in the business of making money and they will be using that gap period for TV series and for other things. And I'm confident
I thought about this before that, but sort of going along what you said, I feel like maybe in between that year where there's not a movie, maybe they release a movie or some big thing on Disney Plus for Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know? Whether it's trying to think of something that could be big for Disney Plus but not big. Ahsoka movie or something. I mean, that'd probably be bigger than I'm than what I'm thinking, but something like
no, that. I think that's a great idea. The idea of putting the Ahsoka film in that period of time
only on Disney
Plus. Only on Disney Plus, because that allows the super fan, the Clone Wars fan,
right,
to participate and get their Star Wars movie film fix. Mm-hmm. Even though Bob Iger has said up to this point that they're not doing any films, Star Wars films on.
Whatever, like a Disney big mini-series.
But you could do a mini-series.
Like or a Sherlock
exactly.
feel. Something
exactly,
like
which
that.
I think people would love that. So
for Kenobi right. especially.
Oh, yeah. And that's what Star Wars Newsnet reported that a few months ago when they talked about the Kenobi thing. They said it's going to be Disney Plus and it's going to be right. sort of a mini-series. So we've got to remember.
Maybe that's the first one they do.
We're getting that in this period. I'm almost certain we're getting those things. With this, we've got the Cassian Andor series. Obviously, we have the Mandalorian Clone Wars season 7. We've got the Jedi Fallen Order. We've got these other things that are coming out.
Do you think we're going to have an Ahsoka Sabine series?
It's possible. I would love for that. We've got Star Wars Resistance. We haven't even talked about that as being a part of this. It's only entering season 2 and it's getting awesome.
Yeah.
With it. So, if they go 3, 4, 5 seasons with that, which is what I'm anticipating.
Which is what I'm hoping.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, we're going to be good to go on all that. Let's pivot and talk about the reaction though, and what people have begun to speculate, as a result of this. Obviously, there's only 3 films announced
mm-hmm.
right now. You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's 3 films that have been announced. Is it me? Do I have something on my face? You were touching my...
Your skin has decided to form where...
Okay, so I was wearing my glasses for all of you in Radioland, and I've got...
Divots.
Eyeglass divots on my nose, the bridge of my nose, and Nathan was concerned about that. So, thank you for being concerned about my face.
That's fine.
So,
it's going to be more than just the eyeglass divots.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Uh-huh. All right.
So we're here for it. Keep you humble.
Yeah, you still live at home. yeah, for another couple days. Anyway.
I'm almost 18. So.
Yeah. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the backside on the way out. Okay. So, what was I talking about? Oh. The reaction has been, there's 3 films that have been announced. The reality is, it doesn't seem to fit what has already been announced, a year and a half or so ago, which is that interestingly enough, the Rian Johnson trilogy of movies that was announced before The Last Jedi actually even was released to the theaters, because they were so excited about The Last Jedi. And then you have the Benioff and Weiss, the Game of Thrones guys, their series of movies. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got a trilogy with Rian Johnson and you've got a series of movies with Benioff and Weiss, but you only have 3 films mm-hmm. announced, the conclusion being jumped to is that one of those groups are out. And the that you can't have them both being a part of this. So what people, John Campia has been really driving this point home. He says he's got sources, which I honestly haven't watched his video because his video title was clickbait, saying Rian Johnson's trilogy is dead. And so I just, I figured, well, we're going to clickbait this episode. No, Rian Johnson's trilogy is not dead. Yeah, sure it is. But the reality is I just didn't want to watch his video. And he's got sources he claims have told him that Rian Johnson's trilogy is done. And other people are making these claims. But then I've got Brian Young, who writes for StarWars.com, full of Sith podcast, and is really in the know, has said there is no evidence whatsoever of this. I am confident that Rian Johnson's trilogy is fine. But what do you guys think? I mean, you can't have both is what the answer is. What is your response to
that? My first thought was, why not flip-flop? Do one every other movie. You know, start off with... Maybe not start off with Rian Johnson's, just because that might be a little iffy, but it's going to be iffy either way. Maybe start off with the Benioff and Weiss. Then do Ryan, then go back to another Benioff and Weiss.
But there's only 3 films announced is the reason that they're saying
this. They're going to do more. I mean, we know that Rian Johnson has to have at least 3 films, and we know that Benioff and Weiss are doing movies, so...
But why people are thinking is because really late on, I forget what year, but it's way far from now, they've already announced Avatar 5. From way far
in. And why is this?
I'm just saying that there are no Star Wars
movies. So there, you're saying that they've projected out Avatars like almost 10 years out.
More,
probably. Or more than that. And they have only projected 3 films for Star Wars. So are you saying that the basis of this rumor or this conclusion...
is probably that.
Is that they are only going to do 3 more Star Wars films?
No. Like you said, this is Disney. They're a business. They're in the business of making money. They're going to make more than just 3 movies from now on. I really, like you were touching on last time, a few minutes ago, I think that they're going to be releasing Rian Johnson's films on Disney Plus.
No, I don't. They'll never release those on Disney Plus.
Every different year.
No.
So, Benioff and Weiss are going to be the ones in theaters. And for people that are really big Star Wars fans and want to watch them, they have a choice and don't want to go to the theater. They don't have to. They can just watch Rian Johnson's movie on Disney Plus if they want to or not.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, I think that Rian Johnson's not interested in making films for Disney Plus exclusively. No. If he's making Star Wars, he's making Star Wars for the cinema. And I think that that's what he deserves. You know, while The Last Jedi is a polarizing film, it's a fantastic film. And there are billions or millions, let's just go there, millions that absolutely love that film and are excited about anything that he's going to be bringing to the theater. There's also this statement that Kathleen Kennedy made. I think it was actually at Star Wars Celebration again. It may have even been to our friend Adam Lance Garcia from Yahoo, or when he was doing producing some stuff in those interviews, where she said that Benioff and Weiss and Rian Johnson and her are actually getting together in May for a summit to discuss the next 10 years of Star Wars. So why would she be getting together with Rian Johnson if his film series is dead?
And didn't Rian Johnson say, like, a while back when there were more rumors that he was...
Sure.
He just posted on Twitter. Didn't he say, no, I'm, like, in the process of writing the script.
Yeah.
Like, it's not dead. The movies aren't dead, whether you like it or not. Like, maybe, like you're saying, they flip-flop each year. That might be the case. And if they do you think they link up at the end of each trilogy?
Yeah, there's some people that speculate that you're going to hear, like, it's going to be, like, Old Republic era. They're both going to be doing it. It's going to be, like, Alphabet Squadron and Marvel TIE Fighter, or Star Wars TIE Fighter, where you're going to have one set, like the Benioff Weiss guys, doing Sith stuff.
Hmm.
Rian doing Jedi stuff, and it's like 7 movies, and it comes together like in a major endgame thing on movie 7, and they have this big conflict where they work it all together at the end. I think that would be amazing. I'm in favor.
Rian Johnson said that his is going to be in the unknown regions.
Oh, yeah. Or no, it's going to be stories. He didn't say unknown regions. No. He said that it's going to be... parts of Star Wars and the galaxy that no one has ever done anything with. So I think that there's no reason for Kathleen Kennedy to be having this summit with Rian Johnson and the Benioff and Weiss guys unless Rian is in it and Weiss guys. Here's the thing, though. When you read when you take into account everything that's been said, Ryan's comments saying he's getting ready to start the script as soon as Knives Out is completed or is in the theaters, which is on its way right now. And he's going to start working on this with Ram Bergman, his producer, and all that kind of stuff goes on. He's working on the script. He's doing a trilogy, right?
Right.
3 movies have been announced. That's a trilogy. It could be a trilogy.
Right.
Right?
Very well.
The Benioff and Weiss announcement says that they are beginning to craft there's a series of movies.
Right.
I don't think theirs is as fully developed as Rian Johnson's idea. Rian Johnson's idea was announced before the Benioff and Weiss guys. Rian already had, he pitched a trilogy to Kathleen Kennedy, Bob Iger, and Disney Lucasfilm. And they agreed to it before The Last Jedi went out. 3 films have been slated. I think that the 3 films that are slated are Rian's trilogy. And then what you've got with the Benioff and Weiss guys is they're waiting for Game of Thrones to finish. Then they're going to begin their stuff. They're going to meet with Rian. They're going to meet with Kathleen Kennedy. They're going to come up with this is how the story's going to interact. Probably have some story group guys there or involved. And then we could see, I think, Benioff and Weiss films announced for 2023, 2025, and whatever. We don't know how many they're going to do.
Okay. So do you think that they specifically chose a 3-year gap after The Rise of Skywalker till the first film
because it's Rian Johnson's trilogy and they want more time for fans to cool off.
No, I don't think it's because of Rian. What I think has happened is they have realized not only the cadence of the release, but Solo was filled with challenges in filming. They fired the directors. Rogue One, they basically fired Gareth Edwards and brought in Tony Gilroy to fix everything.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And the only difference between Lord and Miller and what they did and Gareth Edwards and what he did is Gareth was basically like, all right, that's cool. You guys want to change everything. I'm cool with that. Tell me what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. And so he continued to be the director on the show, on the film, while Tony Gilroy rewrote his script. That's why you have all those scenes from that original trailer that actually happened in the movie. Because they reshot like 60 or 70% of the film. Same thing with Lord Miller and Ron Howard. The difference is Lord Miller said, we don't want to have anything to do with it. So they were realizing, I think that they were trying to push out content way too quickly in a very complicated story.
Yeah.
That's got such passionate fans that they were having some challenges and they're having to do things really carefully. So give yourself some time to reset that storytelling process. And then if you're going to do a film every year, you've been planning for 3 or 4 years before those films start coming out.
Do films that, like Skywalker Saga, everybody knows what the story is going to lead up to. Like Rogue One, people knew that it was about the Death Star plans being put into the Skywalker Saga. Solo, of course, it's about Solo. Make movies that nobody knows what the story is going to be.
They're not trying to juggle the story, fitting it all into the puzzle, right?
Exactly.
It's less restrictive.
Yes, yeah. Shape the story so that people aren't like, well, this doesn't work for this.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, Luke doesn't work for how he did in Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, I'll end this segment by saying for John Campia and anyone else that's making the claim that Rian Johnson's trilogy is dead, I have one thing to say to you.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Okay, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Stormtroopers will be helping guests move along at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, you guys heard about
that. Move along.
You guys know what this
move
is?
Move along.
No, I have not heard about this.
Okay, so...
it's funny side
So
note.
First of all, go ahead.
I was reading from a certain point of view, and it was funny when they explained the story of the move along, with the Obi-Wan from the Stormtrooper's perspective. I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, side note.
It's a great book. You should check it out.
It's a great
from
book.
A certain point of view. We should probably put a link to it on our website. And you can buy it through there.
Kevin Scott? He wrote one of the stories in there.
He did.
I read it. Yep. That's good.
Yep, it was great. So first of all, when you go to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you're only going to have like 4 hours you're allowed to be in.
That's been confirmed.
It's been confirmed. And you'll have these wristbands, which will tell like when you came in, or they can scan it and say whether or not you're supposed to be in there. And apparently they're going to have stormtroopers as the police of this. And they're going to be coming along, checking your identification. And if you're supposed to be getting out of the park, they're going to be telling you to.
Move along.
Okay, that's actually
kind of
cool.
That's kind of flipping awesome.
I wouldn't mind that. I would stay over my time just so I could be escorted by some stormtroopers.
Yeah. But the thing is,
can't you just like walk out and walk back in though?
No, you have a 4-hour pass. That's
it. You have to wait in line. What are they going
to
do?
Well, they're trying to limit the number of people by these 4-hour passes.
Are they going
passes.
To do kind of
queue system? Yeah, like
what they did with Celebration Chicago, kind of queue system. You have a certain time you get to go.
Yeah,
there.
I think it's going
to
be
like even like the show story. You have a certain time to go there. You go to that time. You wait in line for 15 minutes.
Exactly.
So a fan has created an updated version of Ben Kenobi's last confrontation with Darth Vader. Now, what's cool is a few years ago there was a teaser clip of this that was
and he was working on it,
right? And now it's come to fruition and. I like it.
Did you?
I really like it.
It's kind of controversial. There's a lot
it
of people
is,
that have wondered.
It doesn't surprise me, but
it's Star Wars, so.
Right? So everything's controversial. No, I really liked it. That was one of the main criticisms with Rogue One is like, why did Vader fight so intense,
and then
a few hours later, he's really timid and not as intense with Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So seeing this fight where he's literally like throwing Obi-Wan into walls and like throwing his lightsaber at Obi-Wan and all this stuff, it felt more realistic and awesome. And also, it was just an amazing fight to watch. I wouldn't mind.
It's what you kind of always wanted the Ben Kenobi Vader fight to be.
Yeah, the final confrontation to be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What did you think about it? Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah, I showed it to him.
What did you like it? Or
I liked the whole. It was cool to see a fan make that. I thought it was good for him.
It was really well done for him.
It was very well done. He said that he wouldn't mind if it was like an updated version of the movie and the
special edition, another special edition.
And I said that would be I wouldn't enjoy
that. Oh, it's never gonna happen.
For Sir Alec Guinness's first and last lightsaber fight in the Star Wars universe to be replaced.
Yeah, his first one ever. Yeah, no, that's
and his last one. That
well, I'm not saying it was going to happen, but I just liked it.
Right.
That's just me.
That's
just my opinion, and you know,
you're allowed to have it.
Since I expressed it, I'm gonna come under.
No, you can let it. No, you're not. No, you're good.
I mean, you can have your opinions, and they can be wrong.
Yeah, well, they usually are. No, I'm kidding. A Star Wars fan noticed that this funny Mace Windu moment that you might have missed in the Phantom Menace. Did you guys hear about this?
I did not hear about
it. So there's this scene in the actual Phantom Menace movie where at the very end when the Chancellor is walking through and like saying, you know, it's when he says the thing to Anakin, we'll be watching your career with interest. Or
isn't that at the ceremony?
Yeah, at the very ceremony and all that kind of stuff. That there's a scene where you okay over there, dude?
I'm good.
Okay. Where apparently Mace Windu's body double, like his stand-in, was filmed, and they didn't edit him out and bring in Samuel L. Jackson.
I think I noticed that. I just
so it's some other dude that's like, oh, it's like Mace Windu's long-lost cousin.
Right.
But it's actually supposed to be Mace. Love
that. So. That's
awesome. It's not even a scene that like the stunt double needs to be in.
He's no, it's just like it was like Mace, or like Samuel L. Jackson was in his trailer, but somebody forgot to tell him to come out.
Hadn't you heard like the controversy about the coffee cup in Game of
Thrones? Oh, in Game of Thrones,
there was a Starbucks cup in one scene, and they had to remove it.
Yeah, did you see that they've been putting Starbucks cups in classic movie scenes? And there's a Starbucks cup.
And they confirmed that it wasn't coffee; it was actually herbal tea.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about this week's, gosh, every week.
Come on,
this week's
podcast. On paper. You did that.
You need to like underline.
I typed that so that I would remember.
You need to underline, bold, italics,
have neon signs pointing to it,
like circle it and highlight.
This is madness.
Yeah. This week's podcast poll of the week. What's the deal? Figured we could do that. You know, we could steal a page from Collider if we want. What's the deal with Canon? That's what they do. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Christian Harloff does his thing. He still has us blocked on Twitter because I said he was grumpy. I don't think I've told this story. So when we saw him at the Mandalorian panel, did you guys hear what I yelled?
Maybe.
Yeah. So I saw him and we were like 5 feet from him. And I said, "Hey, Christian." And he turns around and I'm like, "Why did you block me on Twitter for calling you grumpy?" And he turns around and he says, "I block everybody on Twitter." I'm like, okay, that's
so cool. It's not personal.
No, okay. So anyway, what's the deal with Rian Johnson's Star Wars trilogy? We got four options. It's the three films that were announced. It will be announced later. He's working with the Game of Thrones guys that the films are actually one of the same, which we didn't really talk about that much, but that was a theory I had for like 47 seconds. And other comment below. So what do you guys think?
I think it's the...
If you had to vote, what would you say?
I hope it is the three films now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well.
Yeah, I think it is. So, well, I guess that pretty much does it for the show. Thank you guys so much for listening every week. You know, feel free to go to iTunes or Spotify or Spreaker or wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a rating and review. That's always awesome. When you do that, check out our Patreon page. Our Patreon supporters are what make this show possible. They are amazing. The stickers, are on their way out. It's the no one's ever really gone dark side sticker. You guys voted for that, on Patreon. So that's, they've shipped. They're coming to us. They'll be here in the next day or so. And then we'll be sending those out on Monday. So you guys will be getting those, soon. You can learn how to become a Patreon supporter and be a part of the Sticker of the Month Club, T-shirt of the Month Club, and whatever else you want to be a part of by going to patreon.com/TatooineSons. That's, and you can be, if you sign up at the $10 or more level, you can be one of our producers, like Judy Jesse. Hi, Grammy, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. You're awesome. So, Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, Emily Hoffman, are producers there. And then we have senior producer
Justin Beeman.
Justin Beeman, yeah.
You didn't mention
him. I didn't.
Got a problem with him or something?
No, I don't have any problem with him. Senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers and Robert Moreno. And of course, our executive producer, and contributor to the show. And we hope you get better, and are able to join us next week, JG Cars.
Get well soon.
Get well soon.
Get well soon.
Anybody, anything else you guys want to share?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
All new Ellen, Octavia Spencer.
Are you dating anyone?
Kinda, not really, but did Brad Pitt say something about me? Is that what this is about?
Plus, Ellen's $1 million man.
This is money, and it's a lot of it.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York. All new Ellen, Octavia Spencer.
Are you dating anyone?
Kinda, not really, but did Brad Pitt say something about me? Is that what this is about?
Plus, Ellen's $1 million man.
This is money, and it's a lot of it.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC 4 New York. Then at 4, get 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, plus your exclusive 10-day forecast, all before the first commercial. Join Stephen Holt, Natalie Pascarella, and Dave Price for News 4 New York at 4 p.m. today on NBC 4 New York.